I want to speak to you this morning from Psalm 18, verses 28. The title of my sermon is It's Time to Run Through. It's Time to Run Through. This is just a bit of background. This is David writing this psalm. And it's a psalm that when he's writing it, he's saying, I overcame my enemies and Saul. I overcame my enemies and Saul. It says, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And then just one more scripture, 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22 and verses 29 to 30. Or 31. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. For as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord has been proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. I want to speak to you about, it's time to run through. I want to speak to you about breakthrough. I want to speak to you about breakthrough. Breakthrough, it means a significant, suddenly advancing or overcoming an obstacle. It's a divine intervention that leads to spiritual growth and gaining new ground. Breakthrough is a pivotal moment marked by God's power to unleash or to overcome an adversity and to manifest his power and his glory. Now, King David's life, I thank God for it because God hides nothing of the men that he uses. He hides nothing of their life. He hides nothing of their victories or their failures. And David went through many trials. And as I say, he penned this when he ran through a troop. It said that when Saul was chasing him, King David lived a full life. And you know, a full life is not one, it sits in comfort. I mean, a full life has struggle and pain and trials and testing. A full life, how can you experience victory if you don't go through some storms? How can you experience a supernatural peace if there's not something to ruffle your peace? How are you going to experience the power of God when we don't get faced with something that takes more than natural strength, natural education, natural experience? How are you going to overcome and get a victory and a breakthrough? I mean, friends, we are meant to live a supernatural life. We really are. We're meant to live a supernatural life. We're meant to be different. We're a peculiar people. In more ways than one. But it comes down to this statement. It all comes down to David's statement. By my God, what he was really saying is, Zechariah 4:6, it was not by might, it was not by power, but it was by the Spirit of God. By my God, I ran through a troop and I leaped over a wall. In other words, all my enemies. A troop is about 250 men. Let's look at some of those things that David ran through. And you have to run through to get through. You have to run through to get through. I want to tell you today, don't run away. We are living in a pampered age. If you don't, you cannot correct anybody. Nobody wants correction. Everybody says, just bless me. Tell me what I want to hear. Tickle my ears. Tell me I'm okay. Tell me I'm going to get through it. But they can't take correction. And what they do is they just go from one church to another church, never ever experiencing a breakthrough or fighting through a problem or saying, God, thank God somebody's got the guts to tell me I'm wrong. I'll tell you, if you're the biggest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Thank God for men and women. Thank God for men all over our nation and women who are willing to preach the word of God. And I'll tell you, I'd rather have a congregation of 20 who are long and hungry for God and break through. I really would. But it says in the last days, they'll look for teachers to tickle their ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me it's going to be fine. Tell me I'm going to prosper. Tell me I'm going to get in. No, thank God. If you're going to get a breakthrough, you're going to have to let God. If you want a breakthrough, the first thing you're going to have to do is completely, completely surrender your life to Christ, because the first breakthrough needs to come that He breaks into you. And we have changed the name of sin. We've changed the name of it as if God just winks at it now. It cost Him His Son. And if God wants to break into your heart and in my heart, I need people. I need the word of God. I need to let the Holy Spirit correct me. Nobody's above correction. So He needs to break into you. And if you know there's something in your heart, I don't like authority. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It could end up in rebellion. It could end up with a hardness. You get to a certain level, and then you don't come through. And then you say, this far and no further. And you will never experience the incredible power and presence, a supernatural life to those who come before God, completely broken. God, whatever it takes, make me a man or a woman after God's own heart. And that's what we see in David. And we're going to see that as we look at his mistakes. The reason David could say, you see, he said it in Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 is some of David's last words. He's on his deathbed and he's flicking over his life. He's getting flashbacks. And he said, it was all God. My life wasn't hidden from the world. I was front page news. Had fallen so deeply. And he's lying on his bed and he's getting flashbacks. And he said, it was by my God, I ran through a troop and I leaped over a wall. Some of the things David had to fight through are some of the things we're going to need to fight through, no matter what age you are. First of all, he had to fight through his own father's rejection. You know, when Prophet Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, do you know his father never even called him? He wasn't even on the team. The prophet had to say, is there anybody else? He said, well, there's my son David who's up there. He had to fight through that, knowing that he was the last to get called. He had to fight through his private battles. You see, he had to fight the lion and the bear. He had to get a breakthrough in his private life when nobody's looking. When nobody's looking, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be honest to myself because I know the Holy Ghost is in me and I don't want to grieve Him and I don't want to resist Him. When nobody's looking, I'm only in charge of a few sheep, but He chased a lion and He chased a bear. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I would have done that. I might have said, you know what? It'll be lambing season next year. We'll get another one. It's only one. And He said, no. I'm going to be faithful when nobody's looking, when it looks like there's no eye on me. God has entrusted me with this. And He said, I had to fight the lion and I had to fight the bear. And we all have private battles that we need to fight through. And you know what yours is. I don't need to name our private battles. I don't need to name the things we fight. You know your private battles, but I want to tell you today, you can get a breakthrough. You can run through them and you can leap over a wall. He was constantly fighting the Philistines, which is a type of flesh. And I'm going to tell you, that's until the day you die. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but as long as you're alive, your flesh is going to be in a battle with you. But the good news is, the Bible says, if we walk by the Spirit, we can overcome the flesh. I mean, that's either true or it's not. Or am I just hanging in there until I die and no victory? I know when I die, everything will be okay. Absolutely not. I want a shout of victory now. I want a shout that gives God glory and praise for his power, for his authority, for his word. I want to shout, who the sun sets free is free indeed. I want that to be my testimony. Not can you say, look at his testimony, but so you can say, look at my God. Ah, he made me run through a troop. He made me leap over a wall. You see, you're not meant to look like what you went through. Can you imagine if I was on drugs for 10 years and I got up here, all holes and my hair all matted and going, well, God brought me through. You're not meant to look what you come through. You're meant to be a brand new man. You're meant to be a brand new woman. You're meant to have a brand new thinking. You're meant to be a brand new person. You're not meant to look like what you come through. People are meant to look at you and go, what happened? Who are you? What happened to you? And you said, I'm glad you asked. All the addiction, all the problems, all the enemy. My God, give me the power to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. 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 Not only are you meant to get through it, you're meant to get over it. And there's people here, you're through it, but you're not over it. You're always talking what they've done to me, what they said to me. I hope you don't take this wrong. Get over it. And I say that from a loving pastor's heart as much as I can. I'm telling you, I'm not shouting. I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm telling you with a heart of Christ that's in me. I'm telling you because I love his church. I'm telling you, you got through it. But I'm telling you, once you get over it, you go into a new realm. You go into a new place. You start lifting others up who are broken. You start picking up the drug addict, the prostitute, and the poor and the lonely, and you grab them and you say, I know the way through. I know the way through. And you start helping those who are broken. But we can't get there. Some of you have came through, but you didn't get over it. David had to get through Goliath. Something that was bigger than him. It looked bigger. It looked more equipped. It was a mountain far too big for some of the mightiest men in Israel at the time. That voice paralyzed them and they could not get through. That voice put them in a place of limitation, this far and no more. Because they lived by sight. When you live by your eyes, you're in trouble. When you live by faith, you have a different perspective. You see, everybody was saying, look at the size of him. And David said, he's that big, I can't miss him. That's just a different attitude. Don't you just love being around people who say, we can do this. Come on, let's give it a go. Let's at least die trying. Let the glory, let people see the glory of God. Let people see he takes the weak, the foolish, and the nobodies. Let them see God's glory through our life. Let's give it a go. Let's give a testimony to God before we die. I'm not willing just to get through. I want to go right over. I want to go right over into a place of total freedom, total power, moving in the power of the Spirit. He got through that. He had to break through psychological damage in his head. I know he had psychological battles because Saul chased him for 13 years. And in 1 Samuel 27, he said this, one day I will perish at the hand of Saul. He had to get through that. That's psychological. And that's serious. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you are sitting here, you got a breakthrough, you got over, but the enemy's planted a seed about the future. He's disturbing your presence because of something that could happen over there. It's a psychological battle, and it lives with you every day. And it robs you of peace and it robs you of his presence. And he said, one day I will perish at the hand of Saul. No wonder. I don't blame David. I'm nowhere. I can't touch this man. One day I will pit, one day this will take me out. This lust that I can't overcome, this anger, this rage, this disappointment, the fear of the future. And the devil says, it's like quicksand. What God has prophesied to you, what God has spoke about your life, what the Bible says, I can do all things. What the Bible says, you can become a new man. What the Bible says, you can get a breakthrough, is a lie. God, 13 years, why don't you just run away? Psychological. Who do you think you are? Heard that one before? So it was a psychological battle, and it brought a weariness. It brings a weariness. Listen, you love God with all your heart. You're singing, you're praising, you're lifting your hands, but every now and again, there's this wave of the future comes over you, and it just brings you into this place of weakness and defeat, and you fall back into some besetting sin. And God says, not only can you get through it, you can get over it. And I'll tell you another thing. Don't paint in the future. Don't you take the paintbrush of God's power and God's word and paint your picture. Give the paintbrush back to God and say, God, they said in 10 years' time, medically, this is going to happen to me. They said in 10 years' time, I won't have a pension. They said in 10 years' time. I mean, whose report are you going to believe this morning? Can God change the future? Can God still heal? Has God still got the power to stop the sun and open Red Seas and open prison doors? I'm not painting my future. I'm leaving it in the hands of God. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a victory psalm. This is a man's last dying words. He had to get a breakthrough about the future. And by the way, Saul never got him. He got put on the throne. I'll say it again. He got put on the throne. The faithful God, whose word won't return void. It will be fulfilled, but you have to have a willing, obedient heart. You have to be willing for God to minister to your heart in these seasons. Remember, David lost his freedom. What this man went through, he lost his freedom. He lost his friend Jonathan. He had to break through so many voices, the voices of his brother, the voices of Saul. You're not able. He said, I'm not able, but God is. There's all those voices bringing you into a place of limitation. And on top of all that, there's a few things that you probably won't hear a lot, but David counted his men. In 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7, you don't need to turn to it, but David counted his men. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. When we start to think, after all that God has brought us through, that it's because of our own strength and our own army and our own intelligence and our own people and my own, and know what it says, God rebuked him. He counted his men. And yet the Bible says that God can save with many or he can save with few. I mean, one man with God is the majority. Can you say amen? And on top of all that, it gets better, just to let you know. It ends well. But if we don't preach the whole counsel of God and just be honest, there's no point. I don't want that. I want a Nathan in my life. I'd be terrified to not have a voice that could correct me or rebuke me. I'd be terrified to live in such a place and not see a blind spot in me. David, one day when men went to war, he stayed at home, which meant he was in the wrong place. David took a man's wife. It was a dark day for all. David planned a man's murder. David lost children and buried them. And he's thinking all that. Oh, the victory. Let's just preach that. Just don't go anywhere else. Just stop there. This could be a great meeting. And we might even pat your back and say, I'm encouraged. This story of a man with great victories, a man who knew the presence and the power of God, a man who knew the heights, and a man who had fallen so low at the end of his life is trying to tell the church and tell the world, my God not only brought me through the victories, my God brought me through my failures. Psalm 51, listen. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, I want you just to see the heart for a minute. Take my crown. Take my ministry. Take my palace. Take the riches. Take the reputation. But God, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You see, that's the heart after God. That's a repentant heart. It doesn't make you any less. It doesn't say you don't love him. It doesn't say that you don't want more, but it says at least when you fall, you can bring it into the light and say, God, I'm going to be honest. Take the crown. You see, so many want to keep their reputation, keep the ministry, keep the pulpit. God, it's what I'm going to let you decide, but don't take your Holy Spirit. I will have no guidance, no light, no power, no authority. My flesh would overcome me. Hallelujah. And know what? God never took his Holy Spirit, and we're under new covenant. And he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to seal it. He ain't gone anywhere. Hallelujah. What a savior. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you were in this man's shoes, you would be dancing. David, he was dying. By my God, I can run through a troop. I can get over a wall. And I want to say to you, after David fell, he continued to write things. He continued to get revelation. Can you imagine? Imagine falling that deep and God saying, well, you know, it's not going to be that, you know. He got forgiven and he picked and he started writing. God's still speaking to me. God still loves me. God still, and at the very end of his dying life, he's like, give me a pen. He's 70 and he's dying and he went, give me a pen. And he writes his last psalm, by my God. And he's flicking through all of it. Because when you die, something, they say, your life, by my God. I ran through a troop. I not only came through it, I got over it. Because if you don't get over it, it's going to hinder how much God can use us if we don't believe that where sin abounds. I'm just going to be happy all by myself. I'm just going to be honest. He who's been forgiven much loves much. Where sin abounds. Where sin abounds. And the enemy goes, yeah, but that's when you were not saved. But to sin against the light, David, you knew him. And that voice against the light. Listen to what David said in Psalm 18. Psalm 18 in verses 16 to 19. I love this with all my heart. Psalm 18, 16 to 19. He sent from me above, he took me and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place and delivered me because my enemy delights in me. And I think that's the worst. When you've went against the light and we've fallen. But I want to tell you something. This is what David said. He reached down and he picked me up and he brought me into a large place. And you know what? I want to tell you, when the enemy comes in those times, I've said it. I've said, you drag me. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he says, look, call yourself a man of God, call yourself a woman of God. And he'll drag you down to the darkest place. I said one day, drag me down to the pits of hell, but the only thing that's going to be on trial is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if it's lost its power, you can keep me here. But I know there is power, power, wonder-working power, and the precious blood of the Lamb. You can take me down, but I'm coming back up again because there's power in the blood. With my God, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not my own strength. I couldn't get myself up. I couldn't get myself up. Hallelujah. Put the blood on trial. The blood wins every time. The blood wins every time. There is power, wonder-walking power in the blood. Psalm 18, 19. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me. Because what? What a word. He delighted in me. You see, some of you might have a relationship with me from a pulpit and you say, I know Jay. And I suppose it's true in one sense. But if you live with me 6 months, you really get to know Jay. And God really knows me. And he said, because I delight in you. Seriously? How could any take any credit for where we're sitting this morning? Some of us know we can't even take the credit for the length of our marriage. We can't take credit for the blessings and the prosperity and the joy and the health that we've got. Not one of us can say, I got here. Don't run away. Run through. And as you run, as you start to run into that problem, into that giant, into that whatever it is, as you start to run, the whole of heaven backs you up. I'm telling you, you're looking at a man who ran away and ran away, and I brought myself into a place of limitation. You see, some of us meet Jesus, but we don't get to know him. You've met him. You sing about him and you love him, but do you know him? Because if you knew him, you would run, because there's a throne of grace, there's a throne of mercy where we can go and get help in time of trouble. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help me. There is a throne of grace where you can run in time of need and you will get mercy. What a throne. What other God can do that? What other person would do that for us? Hallelujah. He deserves the glory. Because he delights in me. Don't run away. It's difficult, isn't it? When God convicts us, and to look at it, you think there's something in us that repels away in correction. Boy, I've been corrected so many times. And I thank God for those men. No discipline seems nice at the time. See, discipline is not punishment. Discipline is love. So if you don't accept discipline, if you go somewhere and nobody disciplines you and everybody tells you you're blessed, you're happy, you're prosperous, amen, they don't love you. They don't love you. I never thought I'd say this morning. Run. And get yourself under a word. Or somebody's telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Curse has consequences, but there's grace, and there's mercy, and there's recommissioned, and you can get up again. And there's people here this morning, I know you need a breakthrough. You've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to stretch. It's time to run at the thing that's bigger than you, with your faith that you've never run it before. And I guarantee you, God will be running with you. It says in Hebrews, I will not be happy with those who shrink back. Do not shrink back. We need a church that's going forward. I've just got a few more scriptures and then I'm going to pray. David knew about breakthrough. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, 17 to 20. This is David. Let me just read it to you, and then we're going to pray. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to a stronghold. The Philistines also went and developed themselves in the valley of Raham. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated him there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breaking of water." Therefore, he called the place Baal Perazim. And Baal Perazim means this: the God who breaks through. Isn't that amazing? When the Philistines heard that David was anointed, all hell let loose. You see, the enemy knows that if you get a glimpse of revelation that you could run through and get over. When they heard that David was anointed, you see, he wants your purpose. He's after Christ in us. He's after the anointing. He's after those things. And he's after God's plan and purpose, not my plan and purpose. I don't care about my plan. I want the purpose of Christ through my life. I'm nothing. The enemy's not after Jay Fallon. It's not as if he's attacking. It's the purpose of Christ in us that he's trying to quench. When the enemy heard that David was anointed king, it says they went up in full force. I finish with this. God of the breakthrough. It's not just a name. It's not a theology. It's meant to bring a shout of victory deep within our spirit. Some of you have not had that shout of victory for a long time. You're in the battle, but you need to get that shout of victory, and it comes by the power of the Spirit. The God who breaks through. God must come off the pages. He must come off and be a reality, his presence, his power. The same Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee is surely here today. Same power, same authority, nothing changes. It must come from theology and reading and shouting and singing to an experience with God that says, "I don't believe that I would ever overcome this sin in my life. I don't believe I could come over this psychologically. I don't believe it. Every obstacle, every mountain, every giant, every mistake I've made, I can get over. I can run through and I can get over because of the God of the breakthrough." He's not just the Lord of the breakthrough. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who provides. That's either true or it's not. Well, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides, and we'll all say amen. Can he really get ravens and put food and know how to reach you? In the wilderness, there was no newsletter, no shop, no supporters, no nothing. They walked through a place of supernatural provision with a presence so powerful, so awesome. And then that, they were so rebellious. Became hard and stiff-necked. And he said, "I can't forsake you. I can't leave you. I'll still feed you. I'll still give you shoes. I'll still give you everything. I know you're struggling." I said I was going to read another scripture. I'll leave it. But I'll just paraphrase it. In Micah chapter 2, 13, Israel are in bondage. And this is the word it uses. I'm paraphrasing it. The breaker will come. And he will open your prison doors and he will bring you into liberty. And this is what it said. The breaker will go before you. Jesus Christ has came. And the enemy tried to nail him on every battle. So I'm not looking for a way through. I just need to say, "Lord, I'm inquiring of you for this situation, for this mindset, for this thing I need to do. What's the way through?" And he'll say, "I'm glad you asked. because I've been this way. Go to the left, listen to the sound of the mulberry tree. And then he inquired again, and he said, no, that was one way. Now I've got another way for you. It's not the same. Because before any traditions, as soon as you hear the mulberry tree attack, and God said, no, that was once. You hear it 10 times and you go running, you're going to be dead. This must come off the pages. This must become a reality. I don't want to stay where I am, do you? Anybody up for a run? Anybody want to run a race? Stay in your own lane. I've wanted to be everybody. I've wanted to be Billy Graham. I've wanted to be, and God said, shh, just stay in your own lane. Run home. Shut up. He might not talk to you like he does it to me. I'm a Glaswegian, I'm hard. We can run through a wall. We can run through a troop. We can leap over a wall. How many people here this morning, you got through it? It's time to get over it and come into new ground, a new place, a new freedom. Fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, stretching my tent pegs. Not because I'm great. And when the enemy comes, you say, by my God, I hope at the end of my life when I'm lying there, by my God, I ran through a troop and I got over the wall. To God be the glory. Let's stand. We have a bad time. I could say amen. I'm going to ask the elders to come at the front, because if somebody might want prayer. You know, because sometimes we need somebody to help us. Remember the four men when they carried the man and broke through the roof? See, that's what happens. You desire for others to get breakthrough. You desire for others to get breakthrough. Will you close your eyes? Can we come out of the mode of this is what we do on a Sunday? And could you hear the voice behind this foolish voice? A heart of so much love to bring you into a place of liberty and freedom and breakthrough. Men and women of God, it's time to stretch your pegs. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you cannot run with the footmen, how will you run with the horses? That means if you don't get victory in time of peace, we need to get over this and we need to get through it, because the horses are coming. There's going to come a battle so severe that we need to be standing our ground. And God doesn't throw us right into the battle. He gives his little ones first, the lion and the bear. He bulges up into it, because he's given us a capacity where he's preparing the vessel. He's breaking it, he's molding it, he's correcting it, and he's moving through it. By my God, I went through. It was Christ, the breaker, has went before you. All you need to do is receive it this morning and say, God, I receive all you've got for me. Hallelujah. If there's something you need to break through, if there's something you need to run through, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. You might not want somebody to pray for you. You might want to kneel down. You can go to one of the elders. Is there anybody this morning who says, I need to come into that place? I need to get my own heart right with God this morning. There's things in there he needs to break through, and I've resisted, but I'm opening it up. God, don't leave me the way I am. I want you to come forward. Whoever you are, we're just going to give the Holy Spirit a few moments to speak to you and say, I want to go further than I've ever been. We give you praise. And we worship you. And we give you praise. Don't let fear stop you this morning. Run through it. Don't let reputation stop you this morning. Run through it. Father, I thank you with all of my heart for the victory that's in Christ Jesus, who always causes us to triumph. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you, you're such a restorer. You're faithful to your word. Your word has been proven. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, Lord. You've had it. You've had nothing of their lives, and we can only take encouragement from it this morning. Lord, we would never go out and do anything deliberately to test that grace. But we say this morning, Lord, through many trials and snares, I have already come, and you have been faithful. Let our lives be a testimony and a witness to your glory, your power. Let a generation see, if he done it for him, he can do it for me. Let every man and woman at the front of this altar, Lord, who have heard the voice of your Spirit, let them come back next week. Let it not just be a walking down. Let their hearts, Lord, and you see their hearts, and you love them so much. Oh, the love of God for you who have responded. You're not responding to a man. You're responding to a voice behind a voice. And the Spirit is going to guide you through. He's going to lead you. Just say, God, show me the way through. I'm willing to run. I'm willing to come through. But I want to get over. It's time to run. It's time to run. With the word of God in our heart and the power of the Spirit, with this faith, we will overcome. We will overcome. Amen.